Good morning. I'd like to call the opening the bids meeting to order, the first order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana, from the Advocate, Official Journal for the State of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 44012 through 44046 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30, Revised Statute of 1950, as amended. Letters of protest. We received a letter of protest from Miami Corporation dated July 23, 2014, on tract number 44032. The staff has reviewed this protest, and there are claimable water bottoms within the tract, and the tract will remain up. We also received a letter of protest from Stephen O. Scanduro, representing Plaquemines Land Company, dated August 11, 2014, on tract numbers 44035, 44036, 44040, 44041, and 44043. The staff has reviewed this letter of protest, and tract numbers 44035 and 44036 contain state claimable water bottoms, and these two tracts will remain up for today's sale. Tract numbers 44040 and 44041 and 44043, these tracts will be recommended by the staff to be withdrawn from today's sale at the tract and the nomination evaluation committee meeting. If there are any bids on these tracts, they will be returned unopened at the conclusion of today's board meeting, and we can proceed with the opening of the bids. Thank you.
Good morning. We received one bid on track 44012, advertises 2,452.99 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 95.985 acres. 95.985 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 5-year primary term with a cash payment of $23,996.25. $23,996.25, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $11,998.13. $11,998.13. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 44013. We did receive one bid on track 44014, advertises 291 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 31 acres. 31 acres. The bidder is Refuge Properties, LLC. Refuge Properties, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $2,500, or a per acre value of $80.65. Annual rentals are $1,250. $1,250. Royalties are 20%. We received two bids on track 4015, advertised as 319 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 59 acres. The bidder is Refuge Properties, LLC. Refuge Properties, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $8,950. $8,950, or a per-acre value of $151.69. Annual rentals are $4,475. $4,475. Royalties are 20%. The second bid on track 44015 is for a portion containing 56 acres. 56 acres. The bidder is Refuge Properties, LLC. Refuge Properties, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $5,800. $5,800, or a per-acre value of $103.57. Annual rentals are $2,900. $2,900. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 44016, advertised as 11 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $5,500. $5,500, or a per-acre value of $500. Annual rentals are $2,750. $2,750. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44017, advertised as 34 acres, and the bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $17,000. $17,000, or a per-acre value of $500. Annual rentals are $8,500. $8,500. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44018, advertised as 30 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $21,000. $21,000, or a per-acre value of $700. Annual rentals are $10,500. $10,500. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44019, advertised as 27 acres, and the bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $18,900. $18,900, or a per-acre value of $700. Annual rentals are $9,450. $9,450. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44020, advertised as 28 acres. This bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $19,600. $19,600, or a per-acre value of $700. Annual rentals are $9,800. $9,800. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44021, advertised as 82 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $41,000. $41,000, or a per-acre value of $500. Annual rentals are $20,500. $20,500. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44022, advertised as 28 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $19,600. $19,600, or a per-acre value of $700. Annual rentals are $9,800. $9,800. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44023, advertised as 26 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas, Louisiana, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $18,200. $18,200, or a per-acre value of $700. Annual rentals are $9,100. $9,100. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44024, advertised as 25 acres. The bid is for the entire tract, and the bidder is Comstock Oil and Gas Louisiana LLC. Comstock Oil and Gas Louisiana LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $17,500. $17,500, or a per acre value of $700. Annual rentals are $8,750. $8,750. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44025, advertised as 24 acres, and the bid is for the entire track. And the bidder is Square Mile Energy, LLC. Square Mile Energy, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $15,864. $15,864, or a per acre value of $661. Annual rentals are $7,932. $7,932. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 440-26 or 440-27. We did receive one bid on track 440-28, advertised as 87 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 10 acres. 10 acres. The bidder is Scheffler Energy, LLC. Scheffler Energy, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,900. $3,900, or a per acre value of $390. Annual rentals are $1,950. $1,950. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 440-29. We received 7 bids on tracks 440-30, advertised as 1,898 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 160.56 acres. 160.56 acres. The bidder is Louisiana Energy and Environmental Inc. Louisiana Energy and Environmental Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $48,168. $48,168, or a per acre value of $300. Annual rentals are $24,084. $24,084. Royalties are 20.5%. The second bid on track 44030 is for a portion containing 160.56 acres. 160.56 acres. The bidder is Louisiana Energy and Environmental Inc. Louisiana Energy and Environmental, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $40,140. $40,140, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $20,070. $20,070. Royalties are 22%. The third bid on track 44030 is for a portion containing 965 acres. 965 acres. The bidder is Louisiana Energy and Environmental, Inc. Louisiana Energy and Environmental, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $168,875. $168,875. Or a per acre value of $175. Annual rentals are $84,437.50. $84,437.50. Royalties are 21%. As additional consideration, lessee will conduct operations having a total value of $500,000 in the first year of the primary term, or suffer the consequence of having the lease terminate at the end of the first year of the primary term. The fourth bid on track 44030 is for a portion containing 965 acres. 965 acres. The bidder is Louisiana Energy and Environmental, Inc. Louisiana Energy and Environmental, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $96,500. $96,500, or a per acre value of $100. Annual rentals are $48,250. $48,250. Royalties are 17.5%. As additional consideration, lessee will conduct operations having a total value of $750,000 in the first year of the primary term, or suffer the consequences of having the lease terminate at the end of the first year of the primary term. Above and beyond the royalties, lessee will contribute $50,000 plus 10% of the net revenues to a P&A fund to plug and abandon wells operated by lessee in the Bakeman Lake field. The fifth bid on track 44030 is for a portion containing 88.6 acres. The bidder is Radiant Acquisitions 1, LLC. Radiant Acquisitions 1, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $31,010. $31,010, or a per acre value of $350. Annual rentals are $15,505. $15,505. Royalties are 22.5%. The sixth bid on track 44030 is for a portion containing 221.43 acres. 221.43 acres. The bidder is Radiant Acquisitions One LLC. Radiant Acquisitions One LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $77,500.50. $77,500.50, or a per acre value of $350. Annual rentals are $38,750.25. $38,750.25. Royalties are 22.5%. The seventh bid on track 44030 is for a portion containing 1,042 acres. 1,042 acres. The bidder is Radiant Acquisitions One LLC. Radiant Acquisitions One LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $364,700. $364,700. Or a per acre value of $350. Annual rentals are $182,350. $182,350. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44031, 32, or 33. We did receive two bids on track 44034, advertised as 1,031 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 114 acres. 114 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. K Exploration Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $31,464. $31,464, or a per acre value of $276. Annual rentals are $15,732. $15,732. Royalties at 22.5%. The second bid on track 44034 is for a portion containing 124 acres. 124 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. K Exploration Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $34,224. $34,224. Or a per acre value of $276. Annual rentals are $17,112. $17,112. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44035. We received three bids on track 44036. Advertised as 1,838 acres. And the first bid is for a portion containing 620 acres. 620 acres. The bidder is Clayton Williams Energy, Inc. Clayton Williams Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $164,920. $164,920, or a per acre value of $266. Annual rentals are $82,480. $82,480. Royalties are 22%. The second bid on track 44036 is for a portion containing 192 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $52,992. Or a per acre value of $276. Annual rentals are $26,496. Royalties are 22.5%. The third bid on track 44036 is for a portion containing 16 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,416. Or a per acre value of $276. Annual rentals are $2,208. Royalties are 22.5%. We received two bids on track 44037, advertised as 2,441 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 139 acres. The bidder is Etroa Resources, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $31,275. Or a per acre value of $225. Annual rentals are $15,637.50. Royalties are 21.5%. The second bid on track 44037 is for a portion containing 204 acres. The bidder is Oil Land Services, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $72,624. Or a per acre value of $356. Annual rentals are $36,312. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44038, advertised as 2,333 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 63 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $17,325. $17,325. Or a per acre value of $275. Annual rentals are $8,662.50. $8,662.50. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44039, advertised as 3 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Tacoma Energy Corporation. Tacoma Energy Corporation. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,578. $1,578. Or a per acre value of $526. Annual rentals are $789. $789. Royalties are 25%. We are requesting that track 44040 and 44041 be withdrawn from today's lease sale. We did not receive any bids on track 44042, and we are requesting that track 44043 be withdrawn from today's lease sale. We did not receive any bids on track 44044 or 44045. We did receive one bid on track 44046, advertised as 53.96 acres, and the bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Scheffler Energy, Inc. Scheffler Energy, Inc. That's a correction. That's LLC. Scheffler Energy, LLC is the bidder. Scheffler Energy, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $21,044.40. $21,044.40. Or a per acre value of $390. Annual rentals are $10,523. $10,523. Royalties are 22.5%. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We will adjourn the opening of the bids meeting. The committee meeting should begin around 9:30. Thank you.
Morning. We're going to take our roll call now. Mr. Segura. Mr. Arnold.
Here.
Mr. Briette. Mr. Schutz.
Here.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Lambert. Mr. Martin.
Here.
Mr. Sanders.
Here.
Mr. Klein. Mr. Height. We have a quorum. I hereby convene the Lease Review Committee meeting, and I designate Mr. Talbert and Mr. Bradbury to present the agenda.
Chairman Smith, members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,777 active leases covering nearly 740,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 127 leases covering 54,000 acres. And of the 127, there's one lease to discuss in more detail today. State Lease 1217, Beta Shane Field, Swift Energy operating as our lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on July 9, 2014. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Swift a 30-day extension to complete their plan of development on the lease. Despite granting Swift additional time, they have failed to submit a plan of development within the extension period. Therefore, the staff recommends that Swift appear before this committee at 9:30 a.m. September 10, 2014 to present their plan of development on State Lease 1217. If there are not any questions, we have...
Jason.
Yes, sir.
Have y'all had any discussions with Swift to date?
Since the granting of the extension, prior to giving them the extension, I had spoken with the land man with Swift and asked him if they needed additional time, we could give it to them. And that's where we gave them 30 days from last month. And I have tried from that period till now to get in contact with that land man, and no response, no return phone call. So it just leaves no other choice but to make them appearance before the board.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from the board? Are there any public comments at this time?
I have one more item. We did grant Apache Corporation of 29E waiver on a well that will be pending unitization. Meanwhile, they will escrow royalties until that unitization takes place. There are no updates on the force majeure report.
What's a 29E waiver?
That's where, with the rules of conservation, if you have a well that's what they call illegal. In this case, this well was less than 900 feet from another well. So because of that, conservation requires a waiver. And since it's our lease, State Lease 1923, they have to request a waiver from us. And then conservation will allow them to produce the well until a unit is put in place.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from the board? Any public comment at this time? I need a motion and a second to accept and approve all the reports, reviews, and recommendations by the staff.
Move, Sandra.
I have a motion from Mr. Sanders, a second from Mr. Cordero. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. I have a motion from Mr. Cordero, a second from Mr. Brouillette. The Lease Review Committee is now adjourned. Thank you.
Call the audit committee session. This time I'll have a roll call. Mr. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Brouillette, Mr. Schutz,
here.
Mr. Lambert, Mr. Morton, Mr. Sanders, Mr. Smith, Mr. Klein, Mr. Hike. We have a quorum, and I designate Rachel Newman to conduct the committee meeting on our behalf.
Thank you. Item number one is a penalty waiver request from Alta Mesa Services, LP, for a penalty in the amount of $22,148.22 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit began on February 4th, 2013, for September 2010 through December 2011. Total royalty collected during the audit period is $4,462,469.97. This was their first audit. They were very cooperative with accommodations and scheduling. Auditors had ready access to key personnel, but had a few problems obtaining records. Royalty and interest was paid timely. Alta Mesa has implemented corrective measures to prevent future recurrence of errors. Alta Mesa paid the state a total of $87,744.61 in royalty exceptions and $8,348.96 in interest. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, staff is recommending a 75% waiver of $16,611.17, with a balance of $5,537.05 due.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? Need a motion and a second to accept.
Sanders.
Motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Lambert. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Item number two is an update on Poydras Energy Partners, LLC, outstanding royalties for the month of January and months of January and February 2014. At the July 9th State Mineral and Energy Board meeting, staff informed the board that Poydras' January and February 2014 oil royalty payments totaling $110,858.26 remained outstanding. The Attorney General's Office sent a letter on July 8, 2014, extending formal demand to cover the royalty as well as any outstanding billings. On July 23, 2014, we received a wire totaling $110,858.26, satisfying Poydras' January and February 2014 oil royalties. Poydras has been billed a total of $104,262.02 in interest and penalties related to all royalty reporting issues. To date, interest of $17,447.19 on these billings has been paid. Total penalties outstanding for royalty reporting are $82,494.83, and waiver requests have been received for this total. However, waivers are not addressed until all outstanding audit exceptions have been paid. Representatives from Poydras have been in contact with staff and have expressed an interest in resolving all outstanding audit and penalty issues. Plains Marketing LP began paying on behalf of Poydras for all properties beginning in April. All royalty payments are now current.
So it's just an update, or is
it's just an update, no action.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number three is the staff report to the committee that the election for August 2014 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the C. Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Tax Code Global Settlement Agreement.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Need a motion and a second to adjourn Audit Committee.
Motion by
Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Lambert. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning.
Called order the Legal Entitled Controversy Committee. May I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Brouillette? Mr. Schutz is present. Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert? Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Klein? And Mr. Hike. Mr. Chairman, we have 10 members present and a quorum.
Apologize, I didn't realize you were conferring when I was called for. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning,
Mr.
sir.
Hike, Mr. Hike, you're going to present for us this morning.
I'm going to try.
Come on.
Okay. Item number one, excuse me, is a request for approval of a lease amendment by and between the state and L-Log Exploration, LLOLA, Discover E&P, CLNF Resources, and RHS Enterprise to amend state lease 20805 to include an oil shut-in provision and all the other required clauses that are required when you amend the lease. It has been properly executed and duly advertised, and it's on the docket as item number 14-27, and the staff does recommend approval.
Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Mr. Smith, and second from Mr. Cabrera. Thank you very much. Is there a public discussion on this issue? Is there board discussion or comment on the issue? Any objection to the motion? Haven't heard none. The motion carries unanimous. Thank you.
Next item is a request for final approval of a lease amendment by and between the state and Hillcore Energy to amend state leases 17193 and 17381 to include a force majeure provision as well as the other required clauses. This has been properly executed, duly advertised, and is on the docket as item 14-28. The staff does recommend final approval.
Chair, I entertain a motion. Thank you, Mr. Cadera. Thank you, Mr. Smith, for the second. Any public comment on the motion? Board comment or objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously.
Next item is a request for final approval of an amendment to an operating agreement by and between the state and Walter Oil and Gas to amend operating agreement A0318 to include a shut-in provision, which operating agreements don't normally have. That was properly executed, duly advertised, is on the docket as item 14-20. The staff does recommend approval.
Thank you, Mr. Heck. Motion, please.
1429.
Thank you, Mr.
1429.
Thank you,
I'm sorry.
Mr. Lambert, for the second. Any public comment on the motion? Any board comment or objection to the motion? Hearing none. Unanimous.
Okay.
Motion passes.
Next item is a request by Hillcore to negotiate with the staff for an operating agreement on 169.33 acres. This is in Pointe-Coupee and St. Landry Parish. And the staff does recommend that they be given until November the 12th to negotiate, and that that acreage be kept out of commerce until that particular time.
Sir, the staff recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Lambert, for the motion. Thank you, Mr. Smith, for the second. Any objection? May I hear the public comment, if any? Any objection by the board or any question by the board? On the motion. Hearing none, the motion is carried unanimously.
Okay, the next item is a request for a 90-day extension by Hillcore to a previously granted authority to escrow funds attributable to title disputed acreage portions of state leases 724, 21-150, 21-152, and 21-157 in Terrebonne Parish. And the staff does recommend that Hillcore be given this additional time until November the 12th to escrow the funds for further negotiations.
Motion. Chair, I'll entertain a motion. Thank you, Mr. Cadera. Thank you, Ms. Smith, for the second. Chair has a question. What is the reason for the delay from May till now? and another, not critical of the staff, but another many months till November.
Right. Well, they're close right now. There's just a few more things to iron out. It's not anything big. They're going to have it ready probably for the next mineral board meeting. We'll try to have it.
Thank you, Mr. Hack. Any public comment on the motion this morning?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, sir. Recognize you, sir.
I don't recall what the answer was. I think the question was asked once before at one of the other meetings about escrow accounts. Is that something that the company maintains? Explain it to me again, please.
The escrow account are set up usually by the company, and it's the money is put into that escrow account for as long as either talks are ongoing.
Whose account, though? I mean, is it the company's account, like Hillcorp?
Yeah. Right. They set up an escrow account, a separate account from their account. It's not mixed in with their money. It's a separate escrow account. And they hold the money there until either a settlement is reached or is put into concursus, at which time the money is then deposited in the registry of the court.
Has there ever been any discussion about another methodology rather than just putting the money, a disputed amount, in the escrow account of the company, as opposed to an account which would be interest-bearing that the state would share?
Well, the account is interest-bearing.
I know it's interest-bearing, but the interest doesn't accrue to the state.
Yes, it does.
It does. It's a separate account. It's not a company account.
Oh, okay.
It's a separate account, and the interest does accrue. And whoever, when it goes into escrow, that money is also, I mean, when it goes into concursus, all of that money goes into the registry of the court, including the interest.
Thank you.
Still a little bit confused on it. I'm wondering about that answer just a minute.
It's like a protection for the state to make sure
I know what an escrow account is. I'm thinking that there should be another methodology, but I want to think through that a little bit. I'm finished. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much, sir. Is there any other questions? Is there any questions? Public comment on this matter. Any further comment by the board or question by the board? Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
Okay. Next item is a request by QEP Energy for a 30-day extension to previously granted authority to perfect an operating agreement on 600 acres, or separate operating agreements on 600 acres in Red River Parish. And the staff recommends that the board approve until September the 10th to confect the operating agreement and present them to the board on the docket for board approval.
The board's heard the recommendation of Ms. Tech. Can I have a motion, please? Thank you. Through yet? Thank you, Mr. Zagura, for the second. Any public comment on the motion this morning? Any board comment on the motion this morning? Any objection by the board to the motion? Hear none. Adopted.
Okay, we have three items in executive session, and then I'll give you a report on the new lease form.
Thank you. May I have a motion to go into executive? Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you to the second, Mr. Smith. Any objection? Here none. We're in executive session. Yes, sir. Limited.
Well, I'll go ahead and read that.
Do you have to make a motion or anything or what took place?
No, Ryan is.
Okay.
I wouldn't need all those names.
I have to. I just thought the stuff.
Are you happy?
Yeah. Because I don't have any phone. And then a lot of us start asking, who was the one that said?
People think I'm mean. She is. She's the only one. Do I need a motion? Can I have a motion to?
I move to come out of motion to come out of executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Brouillet, for the second.
Nick? Do you need a motion?
Who's proceeding?
You want me to do this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jim.
Folks, as we discussed, there are three cases that were listed in the executive session. Two of those, M&M Almond versus State of Louisiana declaratory judgment suit against the state dealing with one of the bayous named Cashada Bayou in Red River Parish. As I appreciated from the land office, there are multiple bayous named Cashada Bayou around the state. The one that's specifically named in this lawsuit, the state land office has determined that the state of Louisiana does not have a claim to that in its sovereign capacity. And we've researched with the assistance of OMR whether we've ever granted a lease that covers the acreage to that bayou, and we have not. So we've never treated it as a state water bottom. And basically the plaintiffs in that case are just looking for us to either answer or settle out the case with them, acknowledging that we don't claim that water bottom. This comes at no cost to the state, no impact to the state financially. And let me add to that, too, the SWEPI lawsuit that's listed also in executive session in the 19th JDC is the concursus companion to that M&M suit. Excuse me. So basically, as I mentioned in executive session, we're asking for authority from the board to go ahead and either settle out or answer dismissing and disclaiming our interest in that matter, and basically get rid of those two suits because they have no impact on us and we don't have a valid claim. So that's those two.
Thank you. We have a motion on this matter. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Any discussion by the board on the request? Any objection by the board? Any public comment on the request?
Thank you very much. The third matter was another M&M Almond suit versus state, and that one deals with the Red River, and in that case we're just seeking authority to negotiate settlement. We've been approached by the plaintiffs and would like to engage in that in those discussions.
Entertain a motion. Thank you. I have a motion and I have a second. Any comment on it, on the motion? The public or any board comment or objection to the motion? Thank you very much. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Seidman.
Sure. My apologies, just for the record. I'm Ryan Seidman, just in case anybody ever goes back to check.
Thank you very much for your service.
With your permission, I'd like to present or read a brief report to the board by staff of the interested parties regarding the proposed new lease form.
That's what we have right here this morning?
Yes, sir, it is.
Mr. Chairman, before we get started on that, may I make a comment?
I suppose so.
I'm
fine with it. Thank you.
Because we're getting ready to talk about the new lease, I want to go back a minute to the issue of escrow account. And I may want to make a motion after I hear a little discussion, but my thought was, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if there's a dispute between a company, Hillcorp, for instance, and the state, that money goes into a separate Hillcorp escrow account. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that account is an escrow account established by Hillcorp.
Yes, correct.
And the state is informed of that escrow account, presumably, right?
Correct.
Once the dispute is settled, then that money is divided, I guess, proportionally as to what the settlement dictates.
Correct.
Let me interject here. There's an interim procedure. They're required to send us monthly statements showing how much they've deposited in the escrow account each month, as well as account for the deposits in terms of amount of production, the price the product was sold for, et cetera. So
good.
We do get
so that
monthly
means
reports.
That keeps the state informed.
Yes, sir.
And I would assume that be, I would hope that that would be correct. But the interest that's involved in that escrow account, if it's settled before it goes to a concursus, goes to whom?
What? Want to go ahead?
Chair recognizes the state.
Thank you. I'll address that too. The proportionate interest, depending on what proportion the state is entitled to, we get that interest. If for some reason they had not set up an escrow account that was interest-bearing, they would be billed the rate of legal interest.
So what we're talking about is interest that could, on disputed amount, that could very easily be attributable to the company as opposed to the state. There's no requirement that the state participate in that interest-bearing account.
We are required to get interest one way or the other. It's in the company's best interest to earn interest on the account because we do accept earned interest in lieu of legal interest. But if they don't credit us with the earned interest, we bill them for legal interest.
But that's
much
a procedure
higher.
And not in the lease, correct?
Yes, sir, that's a procedure.
So what we're talking about is that interest and the determination of who gets that interest lies within either a staff member and or the company to determine how that interest is dispersed.
That would lie with our auditors. The company may determine it, but we're going to audit it to make sure we got our accurate share.
But then, in my mind at least, that might be in the best interest of the company to dispute, put money in escrow, bill the interest, and then pay the state based upon a settlement. I guess the point I'm trying to make is this. It seems to me that that an escrow account maintained by the company that has a dispute with the state, that the state should have a direct interest or a portion of ownership, if you will, of that interest-bearing account. Otherwise, it would seem to me that it would be beneficial to a company that has a dispute to maintain that dispute as long as they can to retain the interest off of that escrow account. And basically, we see that occurring right now in this state with regards to, as I understand it, and I'm not an expert in this regard, but some of the BP claims that are outstanding and owed to our citizens in this state. In other words, they're dragging their feet so that they can build the interest of this fund, and then at some point in time, they're going to pay according to what the federal court determines is owed to them. But in the same instance, they're building interest. And it would seem to me that under the present scheme, without it being built into the lease itself, that would be beneficial to a company that is got a dispute with the state with regards to an oil and gas lease.
I'll defer to the attorneys to comment on the length of time these cases take, but I can tell you two things. If somebody requests to deposit money in an escrow account because of a title dispute, Mr. Heck's staff is going to determine whether it is a legitimate title dispute. He's not going to take their word for it. It has to be a legitimate title dispute.
I'm not questioning that. That's not what I'm questioning.
Right. We also put them on a timeline. They're only allowed to escrow for a certain amount of time. Right now it's 90 days, and they come back to the board for an extension.
And I'm not questioning that.
No, if we settle before a judgment is reached and they've put it in an interest-bearing account, we also get our share of the interest that's added to it.
Oh, so who determines what the share is?
That's dependent on a settlement.
It depends on whatever the settlement is.
Whatever the settlement agreement is, or if it goes to litigation and we prevail, then we get it all. But it's divided pro rata along, the interest is divided pro rata along the same lines as the mineral rights that are determined in settlement or litigation.
Right.
Would it satisfy you if it was were a joint account?
Sir?
If it were a joint account, would that be what you are looking for?
Yeah, well, basically, Mr. Lamb, what I'm looking for is that it is a methodology where the state shares in the interest of that escrow account.
They have a half interest in it. They're going to be, if it's a joint interest, nothing can happen unless the state's involved. I don't know. I don't know who set this procedure up, allowing the company to control the.
Well, this is Ryan. The other issue here is that we're not the only ones involved in these disputes. There are private parties that have competing interests as well. The private parties are not going to allow us to control their claimed money any more than we would want them to control our claimed money. The interest, at the end of the day, gets divided and gets paid to us pro rata. So, I mean, there's really no loss to the state in that regard. If the interest rate in the escrow account happens to be at a higher rate than we would be getting if it were in the clerk of court, then we've benefited.
What would happen
is that in the, is that in the new lease, the point that you just made, and that is that the interest is prorated? Is that in the... Is that a clause in the new proposed lease? Or is that a procedure?
I think it's just, isn't that in the law?
Yeah, I think it is.
I'm fairly sure that's set forth as part of the law with regard to.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm just.
But if I could just say one thing. So my understanding of what the conversation we just heard is that the interest is all placed into the escrow account, and the company who has set up the escrow account of the individuals have no control or use of that interest because it's in the escrow account. And when the settlement does occur, that the state will get its pro rata share of the settlement. So I understand the concern that a company has a benefit to maybe dragging things out if they have the use of the interest and maybe or somehow control of that funds, those funds. But if they have no control of those funds, then they should not have an interest in delaying, it would be my opinion. And I don't know if they,
that's
what I've heard is that those interest funds are placed into the escrow account and not accessible by the company until such time as the settlement is reached and they get their pro rata share and the state gets its pro rata share. And if it was not an interest-bearing account, we would get judicial interest.
Is that in the
typically correct. More?
Is that in the agreement that is signed? That language, when the escrow account is set up.
I do not know.
There's no agreement. It's a board resolution that is sent to the company, and I'll ask Mr. Devitt. I'm assuming that all those provisions are included in the board resolution.
Well, thank you, Mr. Sanders. When the escrow account is set up, it's in lieu of paying royalty. So their duty to pay us is based on a lease. They owe us money based on a lease at a certain time every month. The escrow account setup is meant to give some insurance to the state that those monies are being set aside. Ordinarily, most leases in the state, the company keeps the funds and calls them suspended. This escrow fund setup actually gives more protection than most oil and gas leases throughout the state. And so at that point, the company, the operator that's been paying, they have no more interest in those funds except to the extent that there is a dispute between two lessors that have different royalty rates. So for instance, that money goes into the escrow account, and ordinarily it will then go to concursus. A judge will decide what the proportions are. The parties then split the monies that are in the court registry, except if one company has a lower royalty rate than the other, then to the extent that the operator has overpaid, they will get some refund, but it's usually a minor thing because it's based only on an incremental difference between two royalty amounts. And they would be owed interest on that money, the interest that was earned over the course of time through the escrow process and then through the concursus process.
I have a question.
If
you're finished.
Yeah, I'm good.
So who controls the escrow account?
The operator sets up the escrow account. They lose some control by having to report to us and by setting it up in a bank in Louisiana under our requirements.
So is the bank the third, you know, in a typical situation, a third-party attorney would have an escrow account that the parties don't have an interest in that account. Not interest, as Mr. Hike was talking about, meaning control.
Control so, at that point is like in the operator's hands because the operator has he has the well, he's getting the proceeds, he's selling the oil or the gas, and he has the money. This takes it somewhat out of his control by putting it in a transparent account that he has to report to one of the putative owners, which is us. So we've got two owners here. That we thought we owned all of it. Now there's a dispute, and that has to be worked out. So not all of that money is the state's at that point.
Right. But, you know, the reason you usually put escrow money in an escrow account that you don't control is so that you don't do something with it in the meantime. Not to say that these people would, but I have been familiar with and attorneys who, not any like the good attorneys that are on this board, but that as long as when you ask for the money I have it, then everything's good. But in the meantime, if I decided to dip into it because I needed it,
if you're thinking of an escrow agreement where an escrow account is set up and three parties get to have a say as to whether the bank gives it up. This is kind of different. There's no escrow agreement here.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hike.
I think we're talking about a couple of different issues that relates to this escrow account, though. First, I talked about my question dealt with a company having a disagreement with the state, not other parties involved. And so that would be a little different from the scenario you just gave us. I understand that. My concern goes back to what I said when I questioned earlier, and that is the interest that is earned on that escrow account. And what Mr. Ryan said a minute ago kind of gives me some pause for further thought, and that is if it's in the law that it's prorated, then that's good. If it's not in the statutes, in my mind at least, it should be in the lease that it be prorated and that the lessor and the lessee understand that rather than leaving it to some negotiation between parties.
I think it is in the statute because...
Well, I tell you what, if it is, give it to me so I can take a look at it.
Sure.
Because if it's in a statute, then this discussion is for naught. But if it's not, then I think this is a viable discussion.
Sure.
Mr.
We'll get it,
Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lambert, Chair recognizes you, sir. How are you?
You want to go?
Yes. You want to speak or you want to...
Yeah, I wanted to ask. I did. Yeah. Could you pass around a copy of the escrow agreement?
We don't have an escrow agreement.
I thought you said it was in an escrow agreement.
We don't do an escrow agreement.
Whoa.
The thing that Mr. Segura brought up, a typical escrow agreement that parties in litigation would have. We don't do one of those.
It's done by board resolution. The parameters are set out in the board resolution that you guys authorize instead of by an escrow agreement.
And the lease. We have duties owed to us under the lease.
But when parties come and request to escrow because of a dispute, that's something that's approved by this board.
Yes.
But there's no reason to not have an escrow agreement, right, that we can see. And we, I know it's in the minutes, but where in the minutes? I mean, 50 years ago?
No, they're each independent resolutions. Each time somebody wants to escrow, they have to come here and ask for your permission, and you all grant
but
them.
The disputing parties.
That's identical. It depending on whether there's two parties or three parties, you have a procedure that you have been following.
There's always three parties, and one party is not part of it.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I sometimes think I get that.
Go ahead.
Just 1 second. Before Sorry. Not having a record with this lady, because she can't hear me, would you please bring your name? Sir? I said I get a little chastisement because I don't have this mic in my face, and I'm trying to assist our reporter. So if we're talking two or three back and forth, we want to be sure that we assist her. That's just as a suggestion to assist the lady recording, because she reminded me of it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm not chastising anyone. I'm just trying to assist her. Thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt the conversation.
I think we're finished.
Finished?
Last thing, it might be a good idea if we had an escrow agreement. There's no reason not to, and it sort of it's a situation where you sort of, you know, you just it's a work in progress.
If I may, this is
we don't have a standard procedure. It doesn't sound like each particular deal is done is tailored for that project, sort of.
Actually, that's probably not quite right. There is a specific procedure that requires the state's lessees or the operator to come, whoever's paying the money, whoever owes us the money, to come in and, based upon the confines of the lease, our royalty amount that's set forth in the lease, to come in and ask for our authority to enter into an escrow or to open it, to create an escrow account in advance of a concursus suit. And let me give you an example that will illustrate the fact that I don't believe that an escrow agreement is a feasible option here. We have currently multiple, and Jim had used the example of a three-party escrow. We very seldom have three-party escrows. I've got one concursus suit right now that had to have an escrow agreement prior to the filing of the concursus for the escrow. In addition to the state, there were 103 other claimants to that property, and they're located all over the world. It's not a feasible option for us in these scenarios where we've got property disputes with multiple layers of generations of claimants to this property to get.
But that's a rarity, right?
No, it's the regularity.
In other words, you have that many people involved?
Oh, most definitely. Not in every one. Sometimes they'll range 20, 50, but it's very seldom that it is one, two, or three.
Well, let me ask you this, because I was asking. I want to tell me this. Why couldn't you have a standard form? If it's in the legislature, I'd like to see a copy of the statute for the next meeting.
Okay?
And if you can find it in the minutes, I'd like to see that. My only interest is not making it hard for you to do your job. I just want to make sure that we're doing our job. I think that several people have made those comments. I don't think anybody's blaming anybody for anything. We just want a clearer procedure rather than just, you know, everyone sort of sits on its own, every bucket sits on its own bottom. It's a different kind of, it's what I'm hearing here. It's kind of a different procedure for each one.
Well, now, again, I mean, it depends on the terms of the lease. That's the only reason that the procedure would differ, would be dependent upon what we've asked for in the lease. Now, it may very well be. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the board always has the option to say, no, escrow, go straight to concursus. It's not a practical option when we are able to settle these things in the short term, because then we have to incur court costs. and deal with the court system in terms of withdrawing stuff once we've got an agreement. And if there's an escrow, it's a much more efficient thing. But again, it's not haphazard. The escrows are dictated by the lease terms. And so I understand what you're saying, and we will certainly gather up the documents that y'all have requested. But there, it's not haphazard. There is a method to it.
Well, that would help us.
Ryan.
Yes.
And I certainly don't mean to suggest that the procedure is haphazard, but it just seems to me that the procedure that is in place presently encourages a company, if they have a dispute, to put money in an escrow. But if there was a way that they knew that they got a dispute with the state and they're going to put the money in escrow, and as long, if it just sits there, the state's going to get, it's not going to be left to someone else to determine what the pro rata share is. The state's going to get 50% of the interest that's earned from the time that money goes into escrow till the time the money either comes out of escrow or goes into a concursus. That would encourage these companies to come to some reasonable and quick conclusion as to what the dispute is.
No, I don't think so. Let me be clear about this. It's not the company that we have a dispute with. In these concursion suits, we have no dispute with the company. Our dispute is with a third party, another claimant landowner that has the equal interest in the funds that we do. The companies don't have an interest in it. And let me back up for a second to something you said before. This is not analogous in any way, shape, or form to the BP scenario. These monies are taken out of the company's funds, put into a bank account, and it's in a lockbox that cannot be touched by the company. And when it comes time to divide things up, that's precisely what we come to you guys for authority to do. That's what we go into executive session to talk about, is how do we divide this up percentage-wise. Those percentages apply to the corpus and the interest. So there is no interest on the part of the company in dragging these things out. Their dispute is not with us. Now, let me back up, too. Because if what you are getting at is not the title dispute, escrow, and concursus scenario, but instead a dispute that an operator has with a royalty dispute or something like that with the state, that's, we're not in an escrow scenario there. That's just a, you guys owe us this, pay it. A whole different situation. So if that's what you're trying to get at, that's not what's covered by these escrow accounts. What's covered by these escrow accounts are the title disputed properties, concursuses, that the operators have no interest in the money that's been deposited.
Mr. Seidman, Chair.
Yes.
Just a point. And these oil companies, by my knowledge, and I'm not a mineral lawyer, they'll go take a lease from a partial group of individuals and can't find all the individuals that might have an interest. And then they'll go and do their drilling, do their production, and deposit into the court the portion of the unknown individuals or unrecognized individuals by a judge of the court being entitled to it. That's not what we're talking about here.
Correct.
I want to be sure of that. Just for the
reason. That's correct.
Well, Ryan, let me ask you, like, for instance, number 5 of the Legal and Title Controversy Committee, where it says a request by Hillcorp to escrow amounts attributable to disputed acreage of state-owned lands.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a title dispute. That means that there is a private party who's claiming property and we're claiming property. And so what Hillcorp is asking for our authority to do is to go open a bank account to put in the production attributable to all of it, all of that land, and then it is for us to work out with the other private claimant, not Hillcorp, but the other private claimant, who has a right to that money. And from a logistical standpoint, it is infinitely more efficient for us to have that stuff in escrow for a period of time so that we can have settlement discussions with these parties, not incur court costs, which the court costs then come out of the state's share.
I understand that.
But, again, with that scenario, Hillcorp doesn't care about whose claims are valid and whose aren't. They have an obligation under the lease with us, under their lease with the private parties, to deposit a certain or to pay a certain royalty. And they're going to pay into the escrow the higher of those two amounts for the entire area. We fight it out or, you know, negotiate it with the private party, not with Hillcorp, who gets what, and then divide it up from there. The interest then is divided. None of it would go back to Hillcorp unless there are overpayments, which our accountants look into. But the interest, the entirety of the interest, goes to us and the private claimant. If it's a split, if we win, it goes to us entirely. If the private claimant wins, it goes to them entirely. It never goes back to Hillcorp. They don't hold it. They can't siphon it off. It's just, it's not an available option. They have to pay the money anyway.
Any further comments? Questions?
Basically, once they deposit those funds, they don't have the authority to take them out, correct?
I actually have no idea.
Yeah. So basically, the oil company is acting as a third party between the two landowners. Yeah. So we have to have somebody who's acting as a third party, and the oil company is doing it.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further comment or question?
I'd like to make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
For the motion, do I hear a second? Do I hear a second? Thank you, Mr. Cabrera.
Can I talk about the new lease?
Comment on the motion? It's on the floor. Any board comment or question on the motion? Hearing none, motion adopted. Thank you.
Okay, the final item will be a brief report by staff to the board regarding the comments received from interested parties regarding the proposed new lease form. At the May 14th meeting of the Legal and Title Controversy Committee, the board set a deadline of July the 15th to receive comments from industry and interested parties on the proposed new lease form. On or before July the 15th, staff received a total of 10 comments and also received 5 requests for extensions. Those requesting an extension were given until July the 30th to submit comments. Those submitting comments on before July the 15th, 2014, were Thomas Smart of Onabain Law Firm, Jimmy D. Rimes, attorney with Lisco & Lewis, representing Hal Kahn Resources Corporation, Roger A. Soap, CPL, president of American Association for Petroleum Landmen, Johnny Berry, compliance accounting with Apache Corporation, David A. C., in two capacities. One is the chairman for Professional Landmen's Association of New Orleans Lease Form Committee, and also as land manager with Century Exploration in New Orleans. Reagan Dickens, North Louisiana Director in Communications, Director of Louisiana Oil and Gas Association. Carl R. Rewerts, land manager with Chevron USA, Inc. James R. Rumsey, Vice President, Land Development with Freeport-McMoRan Oil and Gas, and Curtis D. Smith, Vice President, Land Development with Hillcorp Energy Company. Those afforded extensions were Tyler Gray with LMOGA, Thomas Smart again with the law firm of Onabain, which he was supposed to submit some additional comments, Damon Wager of Dart Resources, John Miller of Oil Land Services, and Keith Hall of the Mineral Law Institute. Of those requesting extensions to date, only Tyler Gray of LMOGA has submitted comments. The board requested at the last meeting that staff reach out to the Mineral Law Institute for feedback. This was done, and although Mr. Hall requested an extension, no comment had been received from anyone associated with the Mineral Law Institute. Offering the opportunity to the public and industry and interested parties to provide comments and feedback on the proposed new lease form has proven to be worthwhile. Staff is still compiling and organizing the many comments received in a succinct and presentable format with intentions of presenting a summary of these comments to the board at the next meeting on September the 10th. Recall from our prior presentation that staff had proposed 17 substantive changes to the existing lease form. No comments or limited comments from interested parties have been received regarding the proposed changes addressing the rental clause, deferred development clause, or force majeure suspending event clause within the new lease form. The proposed changes within the new lease form addressing deep right clause, bonding requirements, transfer and assignment clauses prompted the greatest response. These comments are diverse and require considerable review and analysis in order to reduce them to summary format. The lease revision process is continuing. Provided for your consideration are copies of all responses received from the industry and interested parties. These comments are being thoroughly reviewed by the staff and will, in fact, be taken into consideration by the staff in providing final recommendations to the board on the lease form revisions. We encourage you, as board members, to review these comments and likewise provide feedback to the staff. Comments from board members need not be in writing. We are willing to personally meet with you or discuss any questions, concerns, or comments you may have by telephone. Our timeline to complete the lease form revision process is: A, at the September board meeting, staff will present in summary form the comments received in the format requested by Mr. Hike. B, at the October board meeting, staff will present recommendations to the board regarding each of the proposed lease form revisions. And C, at the November board meeting, staff will present a proposed lease form which includes recommended verbiage to be considered by the board.
Thank you very much for your presentation, Mr. Williams. That is information only.
Correct.
Thank you. Anything further?
No,
that's... Thank you very much. Objection by the public, comment, objection by the board, and then we adjourn.
Call the docket committed to order and ask the secretary to call the roll, please.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Briette?
Here.
Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert?
Here.
Mr. Morton?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Klein? Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 11 members present and a quorum.
Thank you. I'd like to appoint Mr. Dennis as my designee to present the docket recommendations. Please present those, sir.
Good morning. The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the August 13, 2014 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, there were no items submitted for this category. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 and item number 2. Item number 3, defer at the request of staff. Approve item number 4. Item number 5, approve subject to the approval of the governor of Louisiana. Please approve items number 6 through items number 36. Item 37, defer at the request of staff. Please approve items number 38 through items number 41. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries State Agency lease transfers, There were no items submitted for this category. For category D, advertised proposals, please approve items number 1 through item number 4, and this will complete the staff's recommendations to the docket review committee.
Thank you very much. Are there any public comments? Any board members care to make any comments?
I do. Tom Sanders.
At this time, I would like to have a motion to accept the staff recommendation.
What? Yeah, I'd like to have a comment.
Oh, you have a comment? I'm having trouble because you're scared of that mic. I know you are.
I want to compliment your presentation. I don't know how many tens of pages of documents we have in front of us, and the distillation of this and these documents and the meaning of these documents, I personally have to totally rely on staff to analyze these matters and make these presentations on each one of these individual issues. There's probably 100 of them or more. Is that a correct statement? Something like a large number?
Could be.
And I want to express my personal appreciation for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Any other comments by the board?
I make a motion to approve.
Second, Sanders.
Motion and second to approve the staff recommendations. Are there any objections? No objections. The motion carries. I need a motion to adjourn the docket committee meeting.
Sanders.
The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to call to order the Nomination and Track Evaluation Committee meeting. It's time we'll have a roll call. Mr. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Bruyette, Mr. Schutz,
here.
Mr. Lambert,
here.
Mr. Morton, Mr. Sanders, Mr.
Here.
Smith,
here.
Mr. Klein, Mr. Height. We have a quorum. I appoint Emil Fontenot to be my designee to present the agenda items. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bredera, ladies and gentlemen. Previous approval on the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 35 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parish where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the August 14, 2013 mineral lease sale, this office received 58 nominations for advertisement. There was a letter of protest from Miami Corporation dated July the 23rd, 2014, pertaining to tract 44030, situated in St. Mary Parish, Louisiana. Staff has reviewed the track in question, and after determining that there are claimable water bottoms, staff has recommended that these tracts remain up for today's lease sale. Another letter of protest was by Stephen O. Scanduro, representing Plaquemine Land Company, dated August 11, 2014, pertaining to track numbers 44035, 44036, 44040, 44041, and 44043, situated in Plaquemine Parish, Louisiana. Tracts 44040, 44041, and 44043 are title disputed tracts. Tracts 44035 and 44036 are claimable water bottoms, and that tracts 44035 and 44036 should remain up for today's lease sale. We are requesting that tracts 44040, 44041, and 44043, for the reasons stated above, be withdrawn from today's lease sale.
Thank you. I need a motion and second to accept the staff. Motion, Mr. Sanders. Second, Mr. Lambert. Any public comment? Any comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes.
15 nominations received by the Office of Mineral Resources for the October 2014 mineral lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. For the October 9th, 2013 mineral lease sale, this office received 45 nominations for advertising. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the October 8, 2014 lease sale.
Okay. Motion and second, please. Motion, Mr. Arnold, second. Mr. Sanders, any public comment? Any comment from the committee? All in favor? Opposed? Motion passes.
And the final item dealing with other business is a request by staff to negotiate with Catapult Exploration LLC for an EGA affecting portions of Iberia, St. Martin, St. Mary Lafayette, and Vermilion Parish, Louisiana, and to take the acreage out of Commerce until November the 12th, 2014, or until an EGA nomination is submitted for advertising, whichever comes first.
Okay, I need a motion, a second, please. Motion, Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Smith. Any public comment? Comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. Just a motion, a second to adjourn the committee. Motion by Mr. Bruyette, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? Any opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The regular board meeting will start at 11, so we'll have about a 9-minute break.
All right, board members, if you're ready in public, we'll start the board meeting. All right, at this time, I'd like to convene the regular board meeting. Item one is a roll call. Ms. Talley?
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Bruyette?
Here.
Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert?
Here.
Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Klein? Mr. Hike? Mr. Chairman, we have 11 members present and a quorum.
Great, thank you. Item two is the approval of the July 9th, 2014 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Second.
By Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Any comments by any of the board members? Any public comments? If not, all in favor of approval?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item three is the adoption of the committee recommendations. A, lease review committee. B, nomination and track committee. C, audit committee. D, legal and title controversy committee. E, docket review committee. Is there any discussion or questions on any of those committee approvals? If not, do I have a motion to entertain all of those committee approvals, 3A through E? We have a motion by Mr. Lambert, a second by Mr. Smith. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Do we have any word on our technical briefing? Okay. We'd like to go in recess for a few minutes until we momentarily find out what the situation is with our technical briefing on the bids. So do I have a motion to
Sanders.
Go into recess by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment about that? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. We're in recess for momentarily. Thank you.
All right, if everyone's ready, we'll reconvene. Pat, is Ted Hike outside? Could you look? Yep, okay. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to go back in the regular session. Moved by Mr. Lambert, second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comments? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. We're in our back in regular session. I believe we're ready for our technical briefing, so we'll go back into we'll recess so we can be briefed on our bids.
Move.
For executive session, we have a motion by Mr. Sanders to go in executive session, second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. We'll be back in just a few minutes. All right, I'd like to entertain a motion to come out of executive session.
Second, Sanders.
Or at least a recess from executive session. A motion by Mr. Arnold and a second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed, motion carries. At this time, I'd like to appoint Mr. Victor Vaughn to present the bids to us.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On track 44030, the staff, this is a multiple acceptable bid with an apparent overlap. As a result, we recommend accepting bid number seven from Reliant Acquisition on 1,042 acres. They bid a total bonus of $364,700 and a royalty of 22.5%. We're recommending to accept that bid. As to the third bid,
excuse me, Mr. Vaughn. Mr. Schutz would like me to point out it's Radiant Acquisition.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
I think you said Reliant.
Okay, Radiant Acquisitions. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Okay. As to the third bid of Louisiana Energy and Environmental, the staff recommends that this bid, which was bid on 965 acres with a bonus of $168,875 and a royalty of 21%, Louisiana Energy and Environmental, after we finalize the property descriptions, we recommend that Louisiana Energy and Environmental be granted an option to take the remaining property of its bid minus any property bid by Reliant Acquisitions at Louisiana Energy and Environmental's bid price.
That'd be Radiant Acquisition.
Radiant, I'm sorry. I've got Reliant written down.
I was thinking about LSU's bid to win over Wisconsin in Reliant Stadium.
Okay. On track number 44036, this is a multiple acceptable bid with an apparent overlap. We accept bid one by Clayton Williams Energy. The bid was on 620 acres at $164,920 at a royalty of 22%. And we also accept bid number three by K Exploration Company. Their bid was on 16 acres with a bonus bid of $4,416 and a royalty of 22.5%. After we finalize the property descriptions for the Clayton Williams Energy bid, we recommend that K Exploration, their bid number two, which was on 192 acres that they be granted an option to take the remaining property of their bid number two minus any property bid by Clayton Williams Energy at K expiration's bid price. As to the remaining tracts receiving bids, we're recommending that all of those bids be accepted.
Great. Any questions or discussion on any of those bids?
I have a question.
Mr. Sanders.
Have we had some of the bidders before us in the last year or so with some issues?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Have we had some of the bidders, today's bidders?
No, I need one more track.
Okay. You want to postpone your question?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, on track 44037, we had two bids on that track. And we're recommending that the bid by Oil Land Services Incorporated be accepted. The bid by Etrola Resources is wholly contained within the area that was bid by Oil Land Services Incorporated.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Any questions on that bid? Mr. Sanders, you want to ask a question?
I just had a question, sir. If we have some folks bidding today that were here last bidding time or sometime recently, if we had any difficulty with any of these bidders on performance or anything like that?
Those are not really.
Okay. And on the Comstock group of bids that we are approving today, did you mention the fact that they have raised their rates, that we have rejected them previously?
Yes, sir. There were several bids that were up today that the staff had rejected a couple of months back, and we had re-advertised with minimums, and we received some real good bids, as a matter of fact, from Comstock on those same tracks.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Any other questions, discussion, any public comment?
I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Sanders, second.
And a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. No further discussion or public comment. All in favor of approval of those bids?
Aye.
Say aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Those bids are approved. All right. Thank you very much. Item 6 is the announcements.
Yes, sir. The total for today's lease sale is $982,880.65, bringing the fiscal year-to-date total to just under $2.5 million, which this is the second month of the fiscal year, so it's a nice start for the fiscal year. Each board member has a packet that was distributed to them. Those are the written comments received on the new lease form. We encourage you to take those with you and review them and let us know if you have any comments to add. And then finally, 2 weeks from today, on August 27th, the department's annual oil and gas conference will be held at the Hilton Capital Center. And we're expecting a very nice turnout.
Great. Thanks. Yes, we do encourage you to go to the oil and gas seminar, and remember it's in Baton Rouge this year. Are there any other announcements? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Mr. Klein makes a motion to adjourn, second by Mr. Cordero. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you. We'll see you next month.